This message is preached at the 2016 Labor's Convocation with the theme, Sound of Abundance of Rain, between the 26th and 29th October at the Missy Training and Retreat Center along Mararabanguido Road, Kaduna. For further inquiries on this and other messages, please contact Refuge Media, number 19 Mayera Street, Navi Plaza, opposite Zipcar Model Schools, Narai High Cost, Barnawa. Telephone numbers 0703-456-8035 or 0805-845-5719. Email precioussteam@yahoo.com. Website www.theplaceofrefuge.org. May your heart find help as you listen to Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, we are asking that which we need to do to spread the fire, to spread the fire of revival. Launch us into it from this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. Please sit down. Good morning this morning in the name of Jesus. We're just going to take one more item on the matter of spreading the fire of revival. It is one thing for God to release the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. But the carriers of it, so God gave His word. But great is the company of those who do what? Who publish it. So this morning we are going to be talking about publishing the revival. Publishing the move of God. But if you want to call it in a very simple manner, he said, spreading the fire, driving the move, publishing the revival. Every fire, never says it's enough. Fire never says it is enough. The book of Proverbs says something that I would like to draw your attention to briefly as I go ahead on this note this morning. Proverbs chapter 30. Are you in Proverbs 30? Alright. Verse 15. The earthlings has two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not. It is enough. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yes, four things that never say it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that says not, it is enough. Let me note very quickly this morning that revival fire was never given by God in order to stop. Whenever God releases a fire, He intends that that fire will burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and keep burning. Fire never says it is enough. But what is it that stops fire? When the burners, when those that provide the fuel for the fire, when the fuel for fire has finished, that's when fire says, it is what? It's enough. As long as there is something to burn, fire never stops burning. And the Holy Spirit will have me share with you this morning the matter of publishing the revival, the matter of spreading the fire and making it unstoppable, the matter of driving the move without it becoming stagnant. But before we begin to look at those things that we need to do individually, first to make sure that the fire does not stop burning in our soul. And then to ensure that the fire does not stop burning in the land. And that the it is enough. The grave, actually, the way they use it there, is talking about hell. It's talking about the place of destruction. It's talking about that which has swallowed great men. And the Bible said, grave never says it is enough. Death has never stopped killing people. And as many as are dying, there is a grave in which they will enter. That's the first thing that the Holy Spirit is pointing to say, never says it is enough. So if that which kills men and sends them to hopeless eternity never says it is enough, should the carrier of life, should the bearer of that which saves men and takes them to eternity, should they say it is enough? Talk to me, please. If that which is destroying men has never stopped, if that which is swallowing men and sending them to hopeless eternity has never said, I have had enough. So those who have what it takes for men to be saved and to be delivered and to be prepared for glory, should they say it is enough? Please talk to me, please. All right. What is the other thing that never says no? The barren womb. No matter how you persuade a womb that is barren, even if you give it plenty money, as long as there is hope in life, the barren womb is still crying, I am not satisfied with for not having a child. Eh? Even when Rachel thought he could donate his sisters to produce children for her, the womb inside of her is still crying, you've not got your own. Even when she got one, she said, oh, that I may have another. If not that she died at the birth of Benjamin, I know what she will have said after Benjamin. What will she have said? Oh, that I may have another. She would have cried again, oh, that I may have another. The barren womb never says it is enough. There is no one who ever settles down with barrenness and he says, well, I'm okay. And the earth that is not filled with water, the dry earth, is there any amount of rain that falls upon the earth that is dry that the earth says, don't come again, I've got enough? Have you ever had earth saying that? No. And no matter how much water came upon the earth is going to swallow it. Even if you tally it for a little while because maybe the place is rocky, it will still go down. The earth has been drinking water since the beginning and has never said it is enough. And then the next thing that God said never says it is enough is what? Fire. Fire never says it is enough unless what it is burning, what it is consuming, finishes. Fire continues to burn until there is nothing more to burn. Am I right? Alright. When should we say it is enough for the move of God? The Lord Jesus Christ gave a very vivid picture of what he was longing for when he gave a very, very critical parable. I will look at that very briefly before I get to where I am going this morning. How to publish, how to spread, and how to drive the move of God. You remember that in Luke chapter 14, the Lord Jesus gave a parable of the Great Supper. And he said, a certain man made a great supper, chapter 14, verse 15. And he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidding, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. He first said to him, I have bought a piece of land, and I must needs go and see it. I pray you, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray you, have me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know, I'm not interested in all that they have said. That's not why we came to that passage. We are going somewhere. So that servant came and showed his Lord these excuses. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, do what? Go out unto the highways and exit. Compel them to come in. That what? That my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. As long as there's a room for one soul, God is saying, go out again. God himself says, it is not enough. It is not enough to have many of you here. As long as there are much more outside, go out again. The fire of revival that God is kindling and is releasing is an unquenchable fire if we don't quench it. May the Lord help us not to quench it in the name of Jesus Christ. The oil that God spoke to us about yesterday, that little pot of oil that woman spoke about, has capacity to fill how many vessels? As many as she can gather. And you will remember that the prophet told her, gather not a few. Why did God say gather not a few? Because what God is releasing can fill the whole place. But can I remind you what happened? Why did the oil stop? Why did the oil stop flowing with that woman? Because the vessels that she got were finished. When she said, bring me yet another vessel, I said, there is no more empty vessel. And the oil stayed. What God provides for every revival has capacity to be endless. The fire that God is kindling has capacity to become unstoppable. It can move from one point to another until we will not be able to measure where it has reached. That's what God is looking for. That's what the Holy Spirit will want us to understand as we are rising from here. Do you remember that when that little five loaves of bread was handed over to Jesus, and he broke it and blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples to go far, what did you discover? As many people as needed to eat, I eat to their full. The bread never stopped. Did it stop? Talk to me, did it stop? Do you remember that they said 5,000 men ate without counting women, without counting children? Until there was not one person who has not been fed. And when everybody was fed, did the bread finish? Talk to me, please. What did they do again? They gathered the fragments, two baskets. What are we saying? God's provision for revival is capable of meeting every need in every nation if nobody stops it. If nobody says it is enough, fire never says it is enough. So this morning, what is the position we must take to publish, to spread, to drive this move in such a way that it doesn't stop, it doesn't stagnate, it doesn't become a small pool, doesn't end in a small bucket, for you to get to all the places that God is desiring you to go? Now, the first consideration is you. The first consideration are the revival laborers. The vessels of revival, they are the first consideration. They are the first person. Listen, not the devil, We will talk about the devil later on. But the devil is not the primary stopper of revival. The devil, even though he does not like revival, but he cannot stop it. As long as the carriers and the laborers of it refuse to stop. So what is the first consideration for publishing the revival and never stopping it? It's you and it's me. Hallelujah. Let's quickly take some quick illustrations that I trust God to help us. Do you know that what God released on Mount Carmel? What God released on Mount Carmel under the hand of Elijah was not to be limited to Mount Carmel. Do you know that that fire that fell was not to be limited even to the little land where they were? God was longing to turn the whole nation of Israel around and exterminate every form of darkness in the land. But who stopped it? Who stopped it? Why was this short-lived? Why did it not last? Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings that we have been reading. I want you to see that very quickly and then we move on. And I want all of you to be careful this morning. Don't stop the move. Tell somebody, don't quench the fire. Don't stop the move. When the mighty move of God started on the mount, when all the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the Gods have been slaughtered, when what has not happened for years began to happen, when Ahab has now started to become obedient to the word of the prophet, something mysteriously happened that stopped the move. Look at it. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. I want you to know now that Ahab was going back as a new convert. He has seen the power of God in action. He has seen the helplessness of Baal. He has seen the hopelessness of worshiping Baal. And he has seen the powerlessness of that idol and all its prophets. He saw how God answered prayer. He saw how fire came down. And he saw how God brought rain. And he was going back to his house to confront Jezebel, as if to say, Jezebel, Elijah had overrun all your stronghold. And for Elijah to press on a little, I know what will have happened. Can I tell you what will have happened? If Elijah had come there and he had said, yes, what we started in Mount Carmel needed to be finished in this palace. the princess of Bar that is in your house, throw her down. This will be the final point for what God wants to do in this land. What will have happened to Rahab? Talk to me, please. He will have done it. And even if Rahab will not have done it, Elijah will have said, who is on the left side in the palace? Someone will have said, I am here for the Lord. Obadiah will have been number one. And some others. And will have said, throw that witch down. And it will have finished. Because God was already moving. The power of God was already made manifest. I want you to know that it is nothing big for Satan to keep speaking until you finish it. Even if Satan is going to be defeated, he will still be boasting. That is his language. Are you hearing me? Even when he knows that he has lost everything, he will still be boasting. So what Jezebel said was nothing. Because if you were to read your Bible, when it was the time for Jehu to execute the unfinished assignment of Brother Elijah, the same Jezebel said, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Who is that dog that is running up and down there? He was speaking against Jehu. And Jehu only said, who is there for the Lord? Cast down that old witch. And as they brought her down, she scattered. And dust came and ate her up and licked her blood, according to the prophecy that Elijah, the man of God, had given. I went there. But what was the matter here? Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Which gods? Talk to me, which gods? Is it the gods that they cry to from morning to evening and could not do anything? The gods that was there helpless when they slaughtered 450 of his prophets and 400 prophets of the group, which of the gods? The man of God that said yesterday, the God that answered by fire, let him be the Lord. The man that stood when the majority was contrary. The man that stood when all the soldier men were cocking their gun to deal with him. And God vindicated him. What happened to the man of God? Let me quickly say, every revival stops when the men that God laid hand upon, when they have quietly departed, when they have quietly resigned, when they have quietly narrowed the move and said, I can no longer do more than this. Whatever happens, it may be a depression, it may be a narrowness, it may be an attack, whatever it is, revival fire has capacity to keep running if the men and the women that God decided to use did not stop it. So the first consideration this morning that I want you to pray with me about is, God, let me not be the stopper of this move. Let me not narrow it until it can no longer mold. Look at what happened to Elijah. And when he saw that, honestly speaking, it bothers me when the Bible says, when he saw that, I was going to say, when he saw what? What did he see? Suddenly he started seeing, strange fear. He started imagining how he was going to die. He started imagining how everything is going to finish. And he did one thing that I beg God to deliver any of you from in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? What Elijah did in that verse 3, you will not understand it. But you see, when God was calling us into discipleship in preparation to become vessels of revival, you know what he said? Whosoever will be a disciple of mine, let him do what? Let him deny himself. He must hate his life. Whosoever uses his life for my sake shall have it. Did you understand? Every revival laborer, every vessel that God uses, there is that point at which you lay down your life. There's a time when you throw away your life and say, if I perish, I perish. We will never have come to where we are standing if we have not come to say no to self. God will not entrust any serious thing to our hands if we have not come to say no to self and yes to the Lord. But when revival laborer begins to scramble for their own lives, for their own safety, for their own perpetuity, the fire is about to quench. When revival laborer begins to defend self, and only do things only to keep their lives, the fire is about to finish. So the Bible said, the man, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. What did he do? He went for what? His life. This temptation comes to every man that God wants to use. Temptation to pick your life and begin to protect it. The basis of the fire, I don't know how to describe what I'm saying, but if it is clear to you, just tell me yes, so I can go on. Is it clear to you? No, I'm not hearing everybody yet. They are not that it's not clear. Let me tell you this. When you want to make fire, you bring firewood that are ready to burn. Am I right? And the firewood, they have the joy of burning and being burnt in order to produce fire. That's the purpose of firewood. Am I right? But let's imagine that as your fire started growing, you begin to remove the firewood from the fireplace and you pick one and put it on the other side like this and you remove another one. and you put it aside. And you remove another and say, I don't want this firewood to finish. What are you doing to your fire? It quenched. Every revival fire requires firewood to burn. And the firewood that is the banner for the revival is a light laid down for God. Unless I lay down my life for God, there is nothing on which the fire can be ignited. But when the firewood, the fire burners, begin to withdraw because they want to protect themselves from being burnt, what are they doing to the fire? They are enduring it. They are quenching it. You know that I couldn't go on with this meeting until I demanded the other day as the Holy Spirit led. Where are the elders, the men, the women that will lay down their lives on the altar and say, oh God, if I perish, I perish. Several of you raised up your hand. Am I correct? Several of you came out. Several of you said, yes, Lord. I no longer care about myself. I no longer care about my safety. If I die, let me die. I want to be used of you. It's only when God gets people like that, sincerely, that fire comes. But when such men no longer want to burn and be burnt, when they want to protect themselves, when they want good life, when they want money, when they want perpetuity of themselves, the fire will die. And I must remind you, almost all revivals came to an abrupt end. People don't always know why. But when you look at the fireplace, the burners have withdrawn themselves. Some of you may not understand that the move of God under Moses, that started powerfully, look at the Exodus that left Egypt. Look at how they were singing, "We's like unto thee, Lord." Can you imagine 3 million people singing praise to God and marching through the wilderness, excited? Who could have stopped that? And if not because something happened, in another 40 days, they will have stormed Canaan. Under the cloud of glory. But some of you don't know what makes the journey to dwindle unto 40 years of wilderness running around. Wilderness. And they are moving round and round and round and round and round and round for 40 years until they all died. They never entered the promise. What happened? I normally think, and someone said, it's because of unbelief. They did not believe. When they went to spy the land, they said they are like grasshoppers. You don't understand. That is not the matter. That's not where the matter started. Can I tell you where the matter started? Moses. The principal burner withdrew. In Numbers chapter 11, let me tell you, normally, and I want you to know, there is no revival without opposition. How could the devil not oppose a move that would dismantle his kingdom? Opposition is a normal thing. If I'm being opposed, no problem. In fact, you know, when we began and we had great opposition, great blackmail, great attack, great persecution. And one day I was really discouraged. And I said, oh God, what have I done to warrant this? The Holy Spirit said, who have I ever used that was significant in affecting a generation that was not opposed? And a man's foes are always the one from his own house. If a work is advancing and advancing and advancing, and there is no opposition even from within, it is only that it is taking time, it will come. If it has not come, expect it. When you are about to break forth into something serious, the enemy will say, now they are about to break forth. What can I do to stop them? What can I do to distract them? Normally, listen to me. Normally, listen. All of you, are you listening to me this morning? I am being moved by the Spirit to share with you, because this revival must not stop. This move of God must not stop. This fire must never quench. Let me tell you, I may go to heaven, I don't want to see this fire quenched in my lifetime. I will die in the fire. That's my agreement with God. I will not see the end of it. I will sleep inside this fire. When you hear that God has taken Bagule home, it will never be the end of the fire. The fire will be burning. It is inside this anointing, this fire, that I will be carried to heaven. I will not sit in one corner and watch ordinary ashes of what we did. No, never. God will not allow that in the name of Jesus. Do you know that? As soon as Moses took the people out of Egypt, because the people don't know where they are going, and they have not known God enough, it was normal for them to do what? To complain and murmur. The complaints and murmuring of followers is not a problem in revival. Until the leaders, until the burners themselves begin to complain. Do you know that they complained at the Red Sea? Did they not complain at the Red Sea? Are there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought all of us here to bury us alive in the water? But that didn't mean anything. Moses just said, Lord, Lord, what do I do? God said, what is in your hand? Said the Lord, said, go and strike the water and tell my people to go forward. There was no discussion about, and they said, did we bring them here to go and bury them? Anybody can talk. The talk of people in the congregation is not a problem until the man on the altar begins to complain. Am I communicating with somebody? So the Bible said, when they came to Mara where there was no good water to drink, they complained. God gave them water because the man who was leading them said, Father, there's no water for my people. What do I do? God said, the rod in your hand, go and put it in the water. It will become sweet. They drank. The people that complained yesterday, once they started drinking water, they started dancing. That's normal. Are we together? Everywhere they went. But now we came to chapter 11 of Numbers. And the people, as usual, they complained again. They murmured as they used to murmur. But today, something changed in Moses. Moses went to God. Why are you treating me like this? Am I the one that gave birth to all these people? Am I their father? Why are you all crying to me like this? Everybody is complaining. They don't even recognize me. If this is how you receive my life, kill me at once. Let me just die. Where will I get food for all these people now? Now, where has he been getting food for them? He forgot that it has never been by power, that it has never been by might, that it has been by my spirit. All that he had been doing since God took him out of the house of Jethro, how much did it cost him? Talk to me. Did he spend any cobble from his pocket? God was always supplying. When his word needed to swallow the snakes of the magicians, did he do anything about it? God just said, drop your rod right now. And he swallowed everything. And God said, pick up your rod, be going home. God has been working. Revival has always been by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey! This man stood that day. He spoke something to God. He said, Father, if this is how you are going to treat me, don't let me see my report. Let me die. For the first time, God said, okay, it's all right. You have resigned, isn't it? Go and look for 70 men that you know and bring them. Let me share your anointing with them. I will take of the Spirit on you. I'll give them. Which means that the things that God put in Moses, what God gave him capacity to carry, and he was not sweating. 70 people will share it and it will not finish. Grace! It is grace that makes a man to live on revival. It is not gold. It's not your intelligence, not your power. It's God. But when a revival laborer begins to seek his own life, his own energy, his own prominence, his own relevance outside what God is doing, the revival is about to die. The first consideration this morning is you. To say, oh God, I must not quench what you want to do in this generation. Can you imagine? From that day, he brought 70 people. You know what that food means? That among the 70 elders that he gathered, I don't know why he did not put Joshua. The curse. Such a rebellious anointing is not fit for Joshua. A man that God wants to use, you don't go and take such a residual anointing. That a man who is tired, a man who is disgruntled against God, say, come and take. If you want, go and take. Go and lead that one, go and lead that one, go and lead that one. Go. Hey! When men of grace refuse to bear the grace of their grace, because every grace has grace to bear it. When something is grace, There is grace to bear the responsibility of grace. And this man said, no, I don't want again. This was a man that stood before God and said, God, if you will not forgive these people, blot my name out. He was ready to die to see the work of God grow. But this time, he said, Do you know from that chapter? God said, now, go and tell them by this time tomorrow they will eat meat. For you to know that something has changed in this man. He should have said, God, where am I going to get meat? Even if the windows of heaven were open and meat were falling everywhere, will it be enough to feed all these people? Where are we going to get this meat that you are talking about? Don't put me in trouble. God said, Moses, has the hand of God become short? Did you understand? Did you understand? But the public, they were not there. This discussion I'm describing to you, where was it taking place? In the secret place. When the secret altar of revival laborers have scattered. When they are beginning to pull their wound from the fire will quench. How will I publish this revival? My life must be laid on the altar for it. I must burn for it. I must keep burning until I am totally burnt. I don't intend to live any other life outside this fire. I want to burn and burn and burn and burn until I'm burnt off with it. But when the leaders withdrew their lives, Moses withdrew. So by chapter 12, those of you that read the Bible very well, you will know that in chapter 12, what had never happened started to happen. Moses took a wife. I don't know what was the matter. And the Bible did not tell us about it. But the matter was that he took an Ethiopian woman to marry. We don't know whether his wife Jochebed died. I don't understand. But the result was that he had become yepere. He had become ordinary in the eyes of people. So Aaron said, is Moses the only prophet? He said, is he the only man of God? You all run up and we are also men of God here. Those who never lifted up their eyes to flout his authority, they began to challenge him. Why? He had resigned. Where? In the secret. Even though God disciplined Miriam, she became leprous for 7 days before she finally died. But that did not reverse the issue. Chapter 13, Moses constituted quota system. You know the spies they sent to the land of Egypt, Canaan, was a quota system. Every tribe had to go. You would think it was God that led him. When you go to Deuteronomy, he said, you people put pressure on me, and it seemed right in my eyes. And I selected 12 from each of your tribe to go. That's the beginning of trouble. This is a man of God that, Father, what do I do? God gave him instruction. No committee ever met before he took decisions before. Once he came and said, this is what the Lord has said. The people he's working with, they have no problem because they know that this is from God. Abi? Anytime he came back from the mount, his eyes were shining. They knew that God has met with him. There were many issues that he does not know what to do. And he tells the brethren, please wait. Let me go to meet God over the matter. When he finished meeting with God, by the time he's coming back, he come back with the blueprint from heaven. This is what God said we should do over the matter. Heaven moved. But from that chapter 12, he had to operate a committee agreement. Benjamin says, please, now a woman is not your representative, please. Naphtali said, you can't go because our man is not ready. Every tribe has to be represented in this matter, please. That's how they went. By the time they came back in chapter 14, can you imagine that in chapter 14, the people already anointed another leader over themselves to lead them back to Egypt? You can't understand the trouble that Brother Moses faced. I don't know whether you understand the problem. The problem of the people that he led out of Egypt, they have passed a vote of no confidence on him now. He said, as for this Moses, we can't follow him again. We are going back to Egypt. I don't know what speech they were going to produce to present to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. So I said, Pharaoh, we are very sorry for actually following that useless Moses to say he's taking us to one promised land. It's all a lie. He just wants to lead us in the wilderness. We actually enjoy what you are doing for us despite all the punishment. We have decided to voluntarily hand ourselves over to you. We are not going to go any God again. We are following you now. They already arranged. And they were going back. Oh, it pained God. God went and crushed them. Several of them just died. Because you won't get back to Egypt. You will die. That's why all of them were dying. The last man who needed to die before they can enter the land of promise is Moses himself. Because he had already said, I cannot lead them beyond here. By chapter 20, shall we, O ye seed maker, shall we bring you water out of this rock? Is that they use the old methodology? We must pray that God will help our lives. They didn't get to Egypt. To the land of Canaan. He himself could not go in. He resigned. And what was it? They were seeking for their lives now. The precondition to the use of God is a life laid on the altar. A life laid out for God. A life no longer seeking self. No longer seeking personal agenda. No longer defending self. A life no longer seeking self-protection. A life, no matter the provocation, a life that has been laid on the altar, you don't take it again. You don't withdraw it again. If you have said bye-bye to mammon, you can't go back looking for money. Have you put your hand on the plow? So whoever put his hand on the plow and looks back, he must fit for the kingdom. Hallelujah. So when Elijah said, I'm the only one left, kill me now, I cannot do more than my father's. There was nothing. God didn't want that man to go like that. Though. God wanted him to push the revival. He was to have raised other people through whom the fire will burn. But he said, no. God fed him, encouraged him. He ate 40 days, 40 nights. There was strength for him to continue. But he went back to the cave and said, I cannot go on. So God said, okay, on your way back to the wilderness. It touched me that the Bible said, on your way back to the wilderness, to the desert, you will see Elisha, the son of Shaphat, anointed in your room. And that Jehu, God was saying, those people that God was talking about, they were not yet born at the time. For you to know that what he needed to do requires that he should live longer. Even though he went to die, it still took 14 more years after that he had to hand over before he goes. But from that time forward, many things. He set up schools of prophets that did not produce any serious prophet. It's not that he was not doing activities. When people have resigned from where God is leading them, they can still be doing activities. They can still be preaching. But now they are preaching for self-survival now. They are still calling fire down, but fire for personal vindication. Abi? He was still moving about. If anybody annoys him now, he just says, fire! He has lost the passion for souls. He now has passion for self-defense. I'm a man of God. Fire! People die, he doesn't care. Instead of him pursuing Jezebel, he was avoiding the woman and going about himself. Of course, thank God that God took him home. Now listen, this is where I want to talk to you. Going to heaven is wonderful. But not finishing your assignment on earth is terrible. If we are only saved to go to heaven, God should have taken us long ago. But we are saved to serve. There's a reason why God appeared unto you. And it's for the earth. It's for the earth. You need to do something before you go to heaven. Just say, let me just die. Don't just die. Make sure you finish your assignment. Make sure what God has called you to do, you don't stop it that way. Are you hearing me? Can I go on? So, because the man, the burner, had withdrawn the firewood from the fire, he has endured the fire. Several great move of God has stopped abruptly because those who are willing to perish for God, they have changed. They are now there, accumulating, gathering things for themselves, about themselves. The sacrifice with which they started is no more their sacrifice. They say, it's okay. Enough of that. May the Lord help me and you in the name of Jesus. That's the first consideration. Commissioning the reviver, you must remain on the altar of sacrifice for fire. Pushing the fire, you must remain a burning and a shining light until God takes you home. Some of you are young sisters here. And you cried before God, Lord, I surrender my life. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. And God had accepted to use you. And He has started to do something in your life. But there's the problem of marriage. Having laid down your life at the altar for God, you cannot marry someone outside the fire. No matter how in hate you want to marry, you can't marry someone that will pull that firewood from this fire. Marriage is good, it's important, but it's not as important as this fire. Having children is good, and God will give you children, but that is not at the expense of this fire. I know you come to a junction in life when they will say, so what did you get? All this fellow, what have you got? You don't even have a house. And you might say, come to think about it, so what have I got? Isn't it time for me to be reasonable? Let me sit down now and really think. Let me face reality. And many laborers of a great reviver, because of that donkey of the spirit of wickedness, what have you got? Where is the house you are built? Where is the car you are riding? They have pulled the firewood from the fire to go and now begin to look for money, to look for house, to look for prestige. And they quench the fire. How many times something began to break forth in your life where God located you? Something is beginning to break forth. Then a surgeon said, I think I need to go for my master's, because when I saw Brother Caleb the other day, he told me that he's just finishing his PhD. And I'm wondering, he will soon be doctor, I will be mister. You see, such useless issues that has moved many firewood burners out of the fire of revival. So they moved out. It's now producing, now pursuing something. He may still be speaking in tongues and shaking his head, but the fire is gone. He has mislocated himself outside the fire. And I can tell you, he may never be relevant in what God is doing again. Did I say that we may not increase our degree inside the fire? No. If it pleases the Lord that while you are still in fire and on fire, it pleases the Lord to say, let's pick this along. No problem. Go ahead. No problem. It might be an instrument to spread the fire. Isn't it? It might be God wanting to reposition you to spread the fire better No problem. But if it comes out of an ambition, out of a frustration, out of a desire to go for your life, this is a life you threw away before. This is a life you yourself, you took by your hand and said, God, I lay it down for you. What is it that will push you to go and remove that firewood from the fireplace? I don't know what happened to this man of God. But that was why Carmel Revival did not envelop the whole of Israel. That was why Jezebel was still speaking for a long time. You know, it bothers me because even though 450 prophets were killed in one day, 400 prophets of God were killed that same day, 850 people were killed, you would have thought that the whole of Baal would have finished. But because the man of God did not press on, Jezebel recruited new priests. Because by the time we come to chapter 21, 22, Ahab still had prophets like Zedekiah, who are supposed to be prophets of the temple, but they are also the prophets of the palace. Why? Because somebody resigned. Let me tell you, this revival has a beginning, but I trust God I will not see the end of it. It's moving. It's going to political arena. It's getting into different, it's getting to academics. It's getting to things, and I'm watching it. And I'm watching what God is going to do, and it's going from nation to nation. It's no more local as you are thinking. God is pushing his purpose. Because it is the time for God to move. But God forbid that the burners will quietly, in search of their own lives, in search of their own convenience, in search of their own definition, in search of a life they already laid down. Jesus kept saying, whosoever will save his life, what will happen? He will lose it. And I'm hearing him say, and what does it profit a man if he gives the whole world and loses his own life? What will you give in exchange for your soul? What is it? So the first consideration this morning, is you on fire? Continuously on fire. Making sure that the burnt ashes does not quench this wood from burning. Ensuring that having entered the fire under the hand of God, you don't withdraw again. You say, Lord, keep me burning. Do you remember the song we used to sing? Eh? Keep me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning. You see that now? I want to burn till the final day. I want to keep burning until there's nothing again to burn. And then I will have gone to heaven. But the fire will not have quenched, because I will also be trusting God to recruit more firewood that also will be burning. And I'm going to be trusting God that as fresh wood comes,
They will catch the fire that is burning on me, and they also keep burning. And they will also be told, as you have ignited, ignite others. Ignite others. That's why discipleship continues. This morning, will you want to be part of those who publish this revival? Eh? How will you publish it? How? By your life on fire. By your perpetual consecration on the altar. As you are giving your life, you will keep giving it. As you have released your life, you keep releasing it. Never to take it back again. As you have said, yes, Lord, take me alive. You don't take it back again. You don't look back on it again. But can I ask you, is God wicked that he does not know how to take care of his servants? Is God wicked? Eh? Talk to me, is God wicked? You see what I saw? While Elijah did many things that I don't have time to talk about. You see the young man that was following him, that disciple. Eh? That's the disciple that helped him to gather firewood when he was building the altar. That was the boy that was standing with him to go and check the cloud. You remember? Eh? That was the boy who was standing, go and tell Ahab, go and tell Ahab. What happened to that disciple? When is your guy has resigned? What did he tell the boy? Better find your level. Stay here in Bajaba. Get something doing. Me, I'm also looking for where to put my life. When a leader resigns, disciples suffer. The young man got stranded. I don't know where he is now. But enough of that. Can we not look at men who perpetuated the revival with their own lives burning? Can we look at them? Let's quickly do so that we don't study only the negative side of the truth. Let's look at the positive side of it as well. The first person is John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist? Eh? That's John the Baptist. He preached and preached and preached and preached. People came to insinuate him. Are you the Messiah? What is your own? Are you the Christ? What did he say to them? He said, I've told you before. I confess and I deny not that I am not the Christ. I'm only a voice sent to prepare a way for him. They came again and said, you know that man that you baptized the other time? He's baptizing you, everybody is going to him, and people are not coming here again. He said, did I not tell you that he must increase? I must decrease. You will not allow anybody to mobilize him to be doing a parallel work. Because competition quenches revival. But let me tell you, what is the basis of competition in the work of God? When people are seeking for their life. Am I communicating with you? When you are seeking your life, when you no longer want to keep dying, say, let me do my own also. At least let people know what I'm also doing. Let me make my own name as well.
That was the life you denied before. You are picking it up again. That's the way to give up and say, yes, Lord! I deny myself. I forget about myself. Only for Jesus to be glorified. But now, we are sitting somewhere. Say, let's start our own also. Let's do something for ourselves too. I can't be follow like this. Nobody will remember me. Nobody will mention my name. But that was the name you laid on the altar before. You see, every time I see competition, every time I see people doing personal things and breaking fellowship, I know something has happened to them. They have decided now to go for their own lives, to go for their own name, to go for their own identity, to go for their own expression, to go for their own definition outside the fire. And I want to inform you, when you remove that big firewood from the fire, what do you do to that fire? Huh? Even if you carry that firewood now, to go and now start making another fire. I hope you know that that is a strange fire. You will have to call it something. You have to redefine it. And one of the things you will say is that, excuse me, don't be mistaken. This is the true move of God. Why did you add the truth to it? Discipleship made easy. We are disciples, but we know our own discipleship is not under a yoke of bondage. Discipleship made easy international. Abi, you are looking for your own. People don't know that it is you. Every desire to disunite because someone is seeking redress. These are people that have undressed their lives before. They are now looking for redress. These are people that gave up their own address before. They are now looking for their own address. Every time I see it, I say, hey, somebody wants to kill this fire. Somebody wants to quench what God is doing. Somebody does not want to die again. And yet I tell you, the precondition for God to include you here before was that you were ready to die. We preach death all the time. Not because we don't have another message. It's because it's a prerequisite for the revival. Those who do not carry about in their mortal body the death of Jesus, they cannot manifest the life of Jesus. Every death is what gives resurrection. And it is where a man is dead and buried. That's where we expect him to resurrect. Am I right? Eh? But when men no longer want to die, when they want to live for themselves, they injure the move of God. They quench it. I will call on you this morning. Whatever is troubling your life, you have laid it at the feet of the Lord before. Don't take it back. You have laid that light. Don't take it back. You'll be foolish to take it back. And when you are carrying it, people will call you and say, so it's now that your head is open. So you can start. You meet us in front. Those that would have been your students, they will become your teachers. Because you have mislocated yourself. John the Baptist, he kept at the fire. There was a time when he was getting confused because I had been cast in prison. And he was hearing the kind of thing Jesus was doing, how he was now beginning to eat with the Republicans and move with tax collectors. Hey, John the Baptist said, what? These are people that when I see them, I tell them, repent! The axe is laid on the root of the tree. What is Jesus doing? I'm told that there's even a tax collector among his disciples. What? Go and ask him. Is he the one to come? Or should we wait for another? You know, the man was, he was a serious man. He said, look, did I make mistake introducing you? I'm told that you are now eating and drinking with Republicans. And Jesus said, yes. That's a prophet indeed. That's a prophet indeed. It's more than a prophet. That's a man of God. Who is faithful to what God told him. So now go and show John again that the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the poor, they have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is the man who is not offended in me. Go and show him again. Tell him that I'm still there and I'm on course. And what he labored for is what I'm continuing. It's just that we are taking the issue more than what he saw. He should just sleep in peace. He should not scatter what he did before. Go and show him again. That's a great man of God. Hallelujah. What of Peter? How did they perpetuate and publish the revival? Once God settled his life and he knew that this is what he was meant for. When God began to move, opposition came. I said opposition cannot stop revival. It's a normal thing for the devil to take opposite position. What do I call opposition? Opposition is opposite position. There's no problem with opposition. Why? Why? Because it's a position on the opposite side. Did you hear me? If there is a side here, what must be here? That's opposite. That there is an opposition, it does not take my position. Is opposite position equal to position? You are not talking to me. Opposition does not stop my position. Opposition is necessary because there is a position. If there is a position here, somebody has to be opposite that position. That's why it's called opposition. And opposition is not equal to position. Who is in position? It's me. He said, I have chosen you and I have put you in place. I have positioned you to bear fruit and that your fruit may remain. I am the one in position. Satan is not in position. Where is Satan? He's in the opposite position. And there is nothing in the opposite position. When the man in position is in position. Will you stand in your position? When the man in position is in position, There is nothing in opposition. The reason why opposition is always restless is because as long as I am in the position of the position, the opposite position has nothing. That's why they are fighting. I will be foolish to walk out of my position because opposition is shouting. If I move out of my position because opposition is shouting, what will they do quickly? They will rush and take over the position because they don't like to be in the opposite position. So yes, as soon as God began to move, opposition stood up. Who told you not to put in this name again? Why are you putting this name? Stop it! Peter stood up there. The men and brethren, if you are asking by what power this man is standing before you whole, let me tell you, this same Jesus whom you and your rulers crucified, the same, it is by his name and by faith in his name that this man is standing. And may I tell you, there is no other name under heaven by which any man will be saved. We are in possession of that name. The stone that you builders have rejected has become the chief corner of the house. Are you a builder and you have rejected the chief corner too? You have missed it. That's what the man of God was saying. Hey, they got more annoyed. He said, what can we do to stop them? What can we do to stop them? They send them out. They said, let them go first. They call them back. Somebody said, look, you can't stop them. You can beat them, you can threaten them, but if what they are carrying is from God, you can't stop it. Be careful. So they called them. They told you not to preach in this name again. Hey, Peter stood up and said, look at what he said. But Peter and John answered, verse 19, and said unto them, whether ye be right in the sight of God to acting unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You also tell us, is it right to hear you than to hear God? You know what I'm always saying? Are you God that we should stop obeying God and obey you? You also judge, is it correct for a man like us who have been commissioned by God to listen to you like this? When Peter was saying that, what has Peter decided? If I perish, I perish. Because these are people that have power to cast them into prison. And they cast them in prison without appeal. They have power. You remember Saul went and collected authority to arrest, to kill, to destroy, and nobody could read him. They have power. But they couldn't quench their revival as long as the brothers have not resigned. Look at the Bible. So we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and have heard. When they use the word cannot, what's the meaning of that? It's impossible. What you are saying is not, we can't consider it. Can I ask you, which people said this kind of thing in Babylon before? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, oh king, there's no need to talk to you on this matter. Our God is able to save us and deliver us from your hand and from your fire. And if he chooses not to deliver us, we cannot bow. We prefer to burn than to bow. Hey, the man got annoyed because nobody has ever done that to him. The man got Something started burning. He said, what? Now, the furnace that you people are prepared, go and multiply 7 times and carry these bloody coals. Then throw them into the furnace. And the brethren were singing. Because they know whom they believe. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. He liveth forevermore. I know my Redeemer. You know, as they were pushing them, the brethren said, I know my Redeemer liveth. We know our Redeemer liveth. He liveth forevermore. You see, they are thankful. Why would they not sing? And the Bible said, when they threw those brothers into fire, they were still singing in fire. Fire killed those who carried them. Fire only washed their clothes and made it white. And the Son of God descended into their fellowship, and they were all singing. When Nebuchadnezzar came, you know what he came to look? He came to see their burnt ashes. That's what he came to look for. Only for him to get there. And he saw brothers still dancing. We know our Redeemer liveth. We know our Redeemer liveth. He must have what? Didn't he cast 3 men into fire? Why are they four? And how are they singing? And the fire couldn't even touch them. They quenched the violence of fire. Bring them out, bring them out. The brethren said, we know our Redeemer liveth. The Canada said, tell me what happened. He said, we told you that we saw a living God. The men fell down there, started rolling on the ground. And said, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the God. That day he made a decree that the whole Babylon must worship no other God apart from the God of these brothers. They spread the fire because they did not withdraw the firewood. I hope I'm communicating with you today. The fire did not quench because they were ready to keep burning. And even if they would burn at the expense of themselves, no problem. And now I'm seeing Peter here and John. So when their father threatened them to let them go, finding nothing out, they might punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorify God for that which was done. For the man was above how many? 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and began to pray. The result of their prayer, look at it, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God. How? With boldness. And the multitude of them that believed went were of one accord and of one soul. Neither said any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. That was the revival. Nobody was fighting for self. Nobody was claiming anything. Nobody was saying, put my name there. No. They were all with one accord. They were all praying. The unity of the spirit, the unity of faith, the unity of the passion, the unity of the fire, the unity of the vision that God gave them was overriding. Nobody is interested in put our name there. This is our own. That's our own. That's their own. That's their own. No! When people begin to do that, they want to quench the fire. Look at the Bible very well before I leave it. Nadab was there, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was there upon them all. Neither were there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he has need. That revival is coming back. We are already touching a foretaste of it. But we are going to see more than that. Something much more is about coming. I know the way things look, and because of the useless tradition that we inherited when there was no fire, some of us are coming with our different names, different things, and I'm starting my thing, I'm doing my own. All of that, this fire will consume them. What will matter in our lives is Christ and Him crucified. What we'll be looking at now is not the matter will be to see Christ. Christ, the one that is crucified, is He walking and moving in Him? That will be the issue. That will be the issue. That's why God had insisted that this cannot be another denomination. God has insisted that nobody should make a denomination of this. Nobody should in any way put labels on this. Nobody should label disciples. They are disciples of Jesus. Whether they are in Kaduna or they are in Boko or they are anywhere, they are disciples. And wherever you touch them, once you touch our trademark, what's our trademark? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It doesn't matter which church, which denomination they come from, they will be disciples. So we will begin to see all those walls, they will collapse, because we will be brothers and sisters running with the fire. When I see you pulling your own firewood out to go and label it and say, this is our own, I know you are looking for your own life and you will lose it. Some are saying, if you continue like that, will I have a space? Your space is there already. What you are doing for God is already recognized. And if you do it diligently, the fire will overwhelm the land. Hallelujah. Paul, when God caught Paul, that burner, and brought him into the fire, that brother's goal, or if you say, what is his motto? His motto is, for me to live is Christ, and to die, gain. That was his motto in life. So my earnest expectation and hope is that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That was his motto in life. That was why they spread the fire. That's why the fire didn't quench with them. May it not quench with us. As I stop here, they were undaunted, preaching the word everywhere. Look at the Bible. In chapter 5. Ananias was trying to quench the fire with hypocrisy. Abi? What happened? Fire quenched him. Don't try to quench the fire. Fire, if it becomes strong, it will quench you. The man was quenched straight away. Nobody even apologized. They just buried him like a chicken. And his wife came and was also telling lies. He said, look, the feet of those who carry your husband out, they are just here, and they will carry you out also. And 1 minute, she was just fell on the ground. Boom. And Peter said, brothers, where you deposited the other man, carry his wife also. The service did not stop. You didn't hear me? The fellowship did not stop. Actually, I don't know how long the fellowship was, that somebody came and died, and they carried him out, they buried him, and they came back. You are not understanding. You have not understood that. Are there some ready-made tomb that time, waiting for somebody to die? Didn't they dig the grave? They must have dug it for the hours. Service didn't stop, and by the time they are coming back, the wife also was on the ground. They said, carry her also, and they went, and service continued. The kind of revival that we saw, the Bible told us about. But it all came with a small spark in the house, because the brothers were not willing to keep quiet. May the Lord help us. That 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon all, as many as had these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, doth no man join himself to them. But the people did what? Magnified them. And believers were the more added to the law, multitudes, both of men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick unto the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. May the Lord advance this fire. May the Lord, through your life, through this fire which you have made on the altar, may this fire not quench in the name of Jesus. They were in prison though. The apostles were imprisoned. The high priest raised up and all that were with him. And they were filled with annoyance, with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But look at the word of God. Are you there in verse 19? What did the Bible say? But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go. Do what? Stand. And do what? Speak. Where? To who? To the people. What? All the words of this life. That is it. That's how to publish the revival. That's how to spread the fire. The Holy Spirit came again. Go. Go and stand. Go and speak in the temple to the people. All the words of this life. Go and share this message. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and did that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and said, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest had these things, they doubted of them whereunto this will grow. Baba, this will grow. This revival will grow. Satan is asking, where will these things grow? It will grow. Those who said this thing will not last 1 year, who wrote letters and spoke as if they were prophets, and gave us 1 year, say 1 year this brother will die. They thought it was going to end in the parlor. But it has refused to die, and it will not die. It has become unstoppable. You can't stop it. This thing will soon become the textbook in seminaries. Pastors will be trained in this matter. These books that you are reading now, it will become the common text that will be used to train ministers. And this will happen not only here, but all over the world. Yeah. And some of you say, what are they saying? What are they saying? That's what we are saying. It will grow. God is going to advance it for His glory. While they were saying that, where did this thing go to? While they were still wondering, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the man whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. You see now, the move of God is so much that even the priests, they are now afraid that if we don't handle these people gently, the congregation will stone us because they have captured the hearts of the people. If we don't follow these things clearly, we may die here. So they just came quietly. And imagine how they say, Peter, can I see you? Can I see you for a few minutes? John, can I talk to you? They must have come so gently so that people did not know that they were taking them to face the Sanhedrin council again. Otherwise, the people would have grown wild. They said, where are you taking them again? Eh? God is visiting us, you people. Eh? You are sitting at the gate. You will not enter. You don't allow people who want to enter. But the news is, let's be careful. Because we can't stop what has happened now. This move of God is unstoppable. It will not stop. No one can stop it. God is behind it. He's going to drive it. He's going to push it forward. But one matter. The wood we have laid on the altar, don't withdraw it. That's where I want to end and take you to make a personal covenant with God. Lord, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not turn back. I will not seek anything personal anymore. I will not be lured onto a corner to remove my firewood. What your life is to contribute to the move of God, you cannot withdraw it. Leave it there. Let it down. God is the one that decided that this is the way your own life will be affected, and you will affect your generation. When they brought Peter again, they said, did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And the way you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine,
and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But are they not the one who said, let his blood be upon us? Are we the one bringing it upon them? You already said, let his blood be upon them. Now when his blood is beginning to fall on their head, they are saying, no, why are you bringing it? We are not bringing it. We are only bringing Jesus. We are not bringing his blood. We are bringing his salvation. Peter stood up and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you, that finger is always there. I love that finger. It's the boldness with which revival laborers must minister the truth. We must preach where it pinches the heart of men. We must pinpoint men so that they can understand that they need to seek repentance. Him as God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and as a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of this is, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they had that, what happened to them? They were cut to the heart. They said, we must kill them. We must kill them now. Whether you kill us or not, you can't kill the truth. There stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Said to them, ye men of Israel, take heed, be careful to yourself. What do you intend to do as touching these men? Be careful. For before this day, Israel wants to do us. Those things himself to be somebody to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and was brought to nothing. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee. That man is an historian, isn't it? He started telling them, he's a professor now. He had done a lot of research. He said, look, in the days of taxing, he drew away more people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from this man. Leave them alone. For if this cancer or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Let happily you be found even to fight against God. If this be of God, you can't stop it. Can I declare to you? If this is of God, you can't stop it. You cannot overthrow it. It will overthrow you. And be careful so that you are not fighting God. Be careful. In case you are sitting in the corner and saying, what are they doing? That's what we are doing. In case you are saying, what are they doing? That's what we are doing. It is of God, which I know it is. You can't stop it. May the Lord give you grace to be part of it. Bring your own wood, put into it. It will be your privilege for the fire to catch up with your own wood also. It's a privilege. May the Lord help us. Finally, they agree with the man. So when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And the brethren, they departed from the presence of the council, crying. The men who published this revival, they were passionate about it. They were rejoicing. That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
They were rejoicing. They were going rejoicing. They are rejoicing not because they got a Methodist Benz. They were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus. They were just dancing and going home. That again confused the Sanhedrin and they said, look at the people. We beat them. They are dancing. We threatened them. They became bolder. We imprisoned them. Angels opened them up. We forbade them from speaking. They are taking over our temple. What do we do to them now? We threatened them with death. They said they are ready to die because they are already dead to death. We said we are going to send them out of our synagogue. They said actually the sanctuary is outside the gate. And they were already following him to outside the sanctuary. What manner of man is this? So somewhere else the people cried, the men who turned the world upside down, they have come here also. May the Lord spread us. May I begin to hear news. And that the men who turned the world upside down, they have come here also. May we hear it in the universities. May we hear the noise of it in the secondary schools. May we hear it in the hospitals. May we hear it in the hospitals. May we begin to hear and say, these men, they call themselves disciples. They have come here also. They are turning things around. Even priests have joined them. May that report heal the land. Because you have decided to burn. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Even now. If I give an altar call this morning, only for one matter. Those who refuse to take away their firewood from the fire. Those who have said, Lord, now that I've seen what you have said, now that I'm hearing what you are saying, now that I'm touching the reality of it, my life is for it. My heart, my life is for it. We started singing a song and said, Lord, Lord, that was the song I saw you singing. You have brought us this far to the place where we cannot turn back. The years of your right hand, they have helped our eyes to see the ray of your light, the ray of your glory. O Father, show us more of your light till it consumes us and set us ablaze for you. We are going to sing that song as we pray together. Can I take you to pray and say, God, I will burn in this fire. Some group of coppers came to serve in Benue State, I think in 1983-84. And it was time for me to charge them. And God just brought for me a word that set them on fire and has refused to stop burning in my own heart. I said, the ministry of burning. He tied them tail to tail. And he set them on fire. And he released them into the field of the Philistines. Do you remember? And before anybody could wake up, all the fields of the Philistines were burnt. And I'm hearing Jesus saying, I came to set the earth on fire. I wish it's already kindled. God will set you ablaze. An unquenchable fire. You know, but I have addressed this issue this morning in this manner. That the fire of revival is never arbitrary. It burns on people. It burns on people. It is when those people withdraw their firewood from the fire that the fire quenches.
This morning, if people sitting here are laying down their lives for that fire, and they will not withdraw their firewood, nothing can stop it. Because as I'm talking to you here, there are other people in South Africa who are catching the fire. And they are also saying, we will keep burning until the whole of that region is set ablaze. There are people in Uganda who are catching the fire, and they are saying, we are burning with it. There are people in Ghana. There are people in the Francophone nations. There are people in Europe. There are people in different parts now. And they are catching the fire, and they say, this is what we are going to live. Different tribes, different nationalities. God is going somewhere. I see this fire burning, but you are the one who must burn for it. Will you join me? But I want to tell you, I pray you join me. Will you join me? But if you don't, I can't withdraw from this fire. I will keep burning. And I'm trusting God that if you come near us a little, you'll be ignited. If you don't want to get burned with this fire, stay away. Just go somewhere. It's contagious. Some years ago, some people used to warn their members, don't go near Brother Billy. They will infect you with that madness. They call it madness. Now they are beginning to know that is a good madness. And it will consume. Let me tell you, this thing will take over. Did I say I will take over? No. No, me, I will be inside the fire. But the fire will take over. It's not me, it's the fire. It's the Lord who is doing his work. Who can stop him? Lord, you have brought us thus far to the place we cannot go back. The years of your life, the years of your glory, oh Father, show us more of your land. Till it is sent us and set us ablaze for you. To the place I cannot talk about. There you have your right hand. There you have your glory.
Holy Spirit, we can't go back from here, we can't go out of this convocation only to go and light our women's burn for you. We will burn in our families, we will burn on our farms, we will burn in the village, we will burn in the classes, we will burn, offices will be set ablaze. colleagues in our offices will be confronted with you. Mastiara Mashando Korobos Kamba Baba Baba. Lord, spread the fire. Publish this love by your spirit. Lord, do it for us. Let there be light. Let there be light, O God. Let there be light. Let there be light. In the name of Jesus. Are you going to pray and say, Father, this fire will not quench because I'm withdrawing my firewood to somewhere else? I will not impair this fire. I will not jeopardize it. Set me ablaze for you. Set me ablaze until it consumes me. Are you saying, Lord, consume me over this matter? Consume my life over this matter. There are souls that are sitting in darkness who are waiting for me. Lord, send me there. There are young students that are waiting to be helped. Set me on fire. There are patients in hospitals who only need my testimony and they will be on fire. Lord, set me ablaze. In my locus. There are materials I need to carry about. Even if just to buy books and just distribute, for souls are meant to be helped, Lord, set me on fire. Very much, Father. Very Mama Sando Roboshe, Dabakundo Roboshe. Imbarata Kasanta Makundo Roboshe. Eridia Rama Sando Koroboshe. Embaria lava santo reboshenda makondo reboshe. Thank you, Jesus. Now it is time to make your decision with God this morning. It's your time now to tell God, I have laid my hand on the plow. No turning back. Lord, you have brought me this hand to the place I cannot go back. To the place I cannot go back. Lord, I cannot go back. I don't need to go back. I won't go back. I will press on with you until I see your glory. Show me more of your life until you convince me and set me ablaze. For you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Let me not be presumptuous. Let me be careful that you are laying that wood of your life on this altar of burnt offering, and that you are not going to take it back. That what God has started to burn in your life, as He consumes you and you are set ablaze for God,
you are not going to go back. Those who stop the revival is because they quietly remove their firewood. Those who spread the fire is because they said, "For to me to live is Christ. And if I die, it's okay. It's okay. I don't want to presume. I want to be sure that you are doing it by yourself. And how will you do it before God this morning? I cannot say come out of the altar. But I want you standing on your feet, lifting up your own two hands personally. Don't tell someone to do it for you, please. Don't do it because the pulpit is announcing it. Do it because it's clear to you now. You won't go back. God has pursued you for years. God has shown you the years of His right hand. God answered your cry in the time of your need. God delivered you when you should have perished, so that you might be one of the burners of this revival. As you step up those two hands personally to God, will you tell Him, "Lord, you have brought me this far, to the place I cannot turn back. I rather push in this firewood into this fire. Consume me, O God. Set me ablaze. I renew my covenant. I renew my consecration this morning." Men like Peter, they lived and longed for that. John was cast into the island of Patmos after he was roasted in frying pan. Yet they refused to keep quiet. Men like John Wesley, those that God used, they took their lives by their hand and said, "If we perish, we perish. It's my turn now, brother. My turn, it's your turn. It's my own turn now, Lord. Lord, it's my turn. Lord, it's my turn. It's my turn. Here am I, O God. Set me a place for you." Is that what you are saying to God this morning? Say it in your own language. Say it in your own voice. Say it the way you want to say it. Put that hand in the hand of God this moment. I say, "Lord, if you have recruited me as the laborer for this revival, for this fire, I refuse to turn back. I refuse to pull away. I refuse to seek myself. I refuse to seek my name. I refuse to seek my personal convenience. I refuse to defend self. I would rather be a blessing for you, Lord. Lord, take my life again. Take my life this morning. Raka shakoro bokiba. Lima santa bakundo robokiba. Riku stonto koko semba kundo robo. Lord, breathe upon this men and women. Set them on fire. Set them ablaze, O God. As they go from this meeting, set them ablaze. Set them ablaze in their offices, in their professional workshops, in their workplaces, O God. In their denominations, in their churches. Lord, let this fire strike. It's not about us, it's not about our name, it's not about anything. It's about Jesus, who must be magnified, who must be honored everywhere. Rakushenda makunjere bestila. Release them, Lord, unto the fields. Release us. Release us, O God. And confirm your word. Confirm your word as your people go from here in the name of Jesus. Confirm your word, Lord. Confirm your word in this meeting, O God. Confirm what you are saying, O God. Confirm what you came to do. In the name of Jesus. Shakuri Mustafa. Rimustafa Rabashiri. Nuri Mama Sanda Yabakundo Robustinka Bakundo Robustiri. Lord, Lord, set me a blessing for you. Set me a blessing for you. Send me a blessing, O God. Send these brothers and sisters a blessing everywhere they go. That they lead the nation of Israel. Thank you, Father. With your hands lifted above God, above your head, I like to pray. Father, kindle the fire. Set us ablaze. Set us into your peace, O God. And confirm your word. Confirm your word, O God, our lives. I plead with you, Father, that none of these burners will be withdrawn out of the fire in the name of Jesus Christ. And for you is able to do beyond what men could ask or imagine. The demand you have placed on different lives here this morning, you are the one to honor it. Father, confirm it in the name of Jesus Christ. The different things you have demanded in their lives, sustain them to obey you in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, you also God, it is correct for us to obey you than obey God. Father, obey you with this your experience every day in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, and God has given the Holy Ghost to those who obey him. Father, as we go out here in obedience, let the anointing continually be poured upon this life in the name of Jesus Christ. The oil for the lamp, let it continue to flow in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, as we draw this meeting today, we are believing you that our rising from here, we are rising to burn for you. The report will come from all quarters. So these men that have turned the world aside and have come here also. So will you do it in the name of Jesus Christ? We don't go to preach there. We are not preaching groups. We are not preaching names. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We sue for repentance and remission of sins in His name. Lord, as your people go, confirm your word in their mouths. Let secondary school students be set ablaze in the name of Jesus Christ. Let campuses be set ablaze in the name of Jesus Christ. Let our churches be set on fire in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we ask offices, civil servants, cause this fire to keep burning now. In hospitals, let the fire burn. Let us stand and come, let the go. Spread the tidings around. For the comforter has come. Lord, as your children move, this fire will spread. Thank you for hearing us. We submit ourselves to you, Lord, with our hands. We put these hands in your hand, O God. You are the Lord who keeps, who sustains, you will sustain this life. Until this fire reaches its height and it becomes unquenchable, every wind will only spread it. Keep this firewood in the name of Jesus. Keep these brothers burning. keep these sisters burning. Help them to obey you to the very, very last of their breath in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed.
For further inquiries on this and other messages, please contact Refuge Media, number 19 Myera Street, Navit Plaza, opposite Zidkar Model Schools, Narai High Cost, Bangnawa. Telephone numbers 0703-056-8035 or 0805-845-5719. Email reshesteam@yahoo.com. Website www.theplaceofrefuge.org. May your heart find help as you listen in Jesus' name.